We're having a special class on something called Pruz Bul. Did you guys learn about a Pruz Bul? Not yet. Okay. The word Pruz means institution. And Bul means wealthy. Pruz Bul, institution for the wealthy. So the Talmud says, we have a mitzvah to give loans. And when a person's wealthy, so he has a mitzvah to lend his money to help other people out. But the Torah says, this year is Shemitah, Tavshinayin Hei is a Shemitah year, right? When the year ends, meaning next week, a week from today, when sunset hits, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, right? The sun goes down, Rosh Hashanah comes in. At that moment, all loans are null and void. That's what the Torah says. Technically, biblically, it doesn't happen now. We don't have a temple, we don't have all the Jewish people living in Israel, we don't have the Jubilee year, so we don't have Shemitah, technically. The rabbis instituted that it still applies. So even when we have the Jubilee year, biblically all loans become null and void. Now that we don't have the Jubilee year, it's rabbinic. So next week, Sunday at sunset, none of you will own the money that's in your banks. None of you will own your pension plans. That's it. You could say goodbye to all your stocks and options. So they're all on loan. The company owes them to you. So your pension plan isn't due yet, right? So it's not a loan that's come to fruition yet. But let's say you lent money to your roommate, and your roommate owes you the money. Let's say your employer is supposed to pay you your salary next week, Thursday, and they don't. They say, I'm a little bit behind. I'll pay you right after Rosh Hashanah. So now that money that they owe you became a loan by them. So any loan that you have outstanding becomes not any loan to a Jew. From one Jew to another Jew, becomes null and void. So what happened was, all the wealthy people said, no way I'm lending someone money. I'll lend them money after Rosh Hashanah. I'm not lending them now. I'm certainly not lending them towards the end of the seventh year. But the Torah says, don't say in your heart, the end of the seventh year is coming. I don't want to give loans. It's a biblical prohibition. You're not supposed to do that. But Hillel saw, there was the Rabbi Hillel, right? We know Hillel from the Mishnah. So Hillel saw that people weren't living up to this mitzvah. People were not giving loans, and what ends up happening is everyone's a loser. The wealthy are losers because they're missing out on the mitzvah of giving loans. The poor are losers because they go hungry. They don't get the loans they need. So Hillel made an institution, and the institution goes as follows. If I give my contracts over to the courts, so then Shemitah doesn't nullify them. A court can collect the loan. Once I've given it to the court, even though Rosh Hashanah passes, the Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, so the court can still collect it. There's no problem on that. There's a discussion how it works halachically, but we'll go with this understanding. There are basically two understandings as to how this works legally. So what Hillel instituted was that any Jew can write a contract in which he says, I am hereby giving over all my loans to the court. And that's what we do. That's the institution of Hillel. That we sign a document anytime before Rosh Hashanah. You can do it today, tomorrow, the next day, just before Rosh Hashanah, before sunset on Sunday. You have this document in which you write, I am hereby giving all loans that I am owed, I'm giving them over to the court. And then you have it signed by two witnesses, three witnesses, or some people convene a little court. They have three rabbis sign on that document, and they convene their own court. And once you've done that, you can collect all the money that you're owed because you've given it over to the court. So Hillel made this institution. It helps the wealthy because now they don't mind giving out loans. It helps the poor because this way they'll get loans. So you have a week now to take care of this. Ask Rabbi Listman, arrange a document here. You should sign it. If all your money is in American banks, but still, maybe you lent your roommate. Maybe you didn't think about it. With regards to banks and investments, so we have a bit of an issue. On the one hand, the mitzvah is between two Jews. So if I'm in Republic Safra Bank, is Republic Bank still owned by the Jew Safra, Mr. Safra, yeah? So then, is it between me and Mr. Safra? No, it's a corporation. If Republic National Bank has a problem, I'm not going to go suing Mr. Safra. I might, but it's going to be problematic because he's a corporation. So we have a halachic question. Does the halacha recognize corporations as a separate entity? Where is this relevant? In everything you do. It's relevant to Shabbos. If you're going to own stocks in a company and they work on Shabbos, is it your workers working on Shabbos just because you own stock there? It's a corporation. The bank you have money in. If you own non-kosher food, if you're doing business, if you're going to buy stock in Merck and they sell non-kosher food, you're not supposed to do business in non-kosher food. What about Passover? Do you have to sell all your stocks that own chametz on Passover? So we do view a certain distance. I could own $1 million of stock in Merck. That doesn't mean that I own the food they sell. I can't walk into their warehouse and say, hey, I own $1 million over here. Tell me where they are. Which boxes are mine? Doesn't work that way, right? So that's why we allow a certain leniency. And that's why what I said at the beginning of the class, that all your stocks and bonds and mutual funds and all of that is going to become null and void next Sunday, that's not accurate. Because it's not so clear that money with a corporation is affected by Shemitah. But nonetheless, we do a prusbul because it affects a lot of things. It can affect your bank account, it can affect the loans you give other people. You write one prusbul, and with that you've covered all the money that you're owed by your employer, anyone. Now, this is relevant, obviously, to the moment you wrote the contract. If 5 minutes after you write the contract, your roommate says, hey, can I borrow a 50? I'm going out on a date. I'm short on some cash. Can I borrow 50 shekel? And you say, sure. When are you going to pay it back? And he says, tonight, after the date, I'm going by an ATM machine. I'm going to pay you the money back. And, of course, he doesn't, right? So now you have a problem because you wrote the prusbul, and post-prusbul, 5 minutes later, you gave a new loan. The prusbul covers all contracts up to the time it was written. And you may not post-date a prusbul. Okay? You're not allowed to write. I'll write the prusbul for, Sunday, 10 minutes before sunset. That's a disqualified prusbul. You're not allowed to make a post-dated contract. That's a general rule. You're not allowed to make a post-dated contract because you end up cheating people if you write a post-dated contract.
Out of interest or
Because every contract has a built-in lien. When we write contracts, the understanding is there's a built-in lien on land. And you're not allowed... I mixed up two things. I'm sorry. I take that back. With a prusbul, it's disqualified because you're going to encompass new loans. You're writing it now. You're giving it over to the courts now. Okay. What I said about contracts is a different point. Say that. Okay. So we have a general picture. Every person should write a prusbul. There will be forms out here. Write, sign them. Get three people to sign on them. But understand what you're doing. Does anyone have questions? Yes.
I have an employer who's supposed to pay me on the 10th or so. So if he doesn't, I need to ask for a prusbul?
Either way, you should write a prusbul.
Even if he doesn't?
If he doesn't pay you, the issue this year is that the 10th is a Thursday. So let's say he puts in the bank transfer Thursday evening, okay? He says, I paid you. But the bank is closed Friday, that's the 11th. It's closed Shabbos, and it's closed Sunday because it's Erev Chag. So now what ends up happening is he owes you money from Thursday. He didn't pay you yet. The money didn't come to you yet. And technically when Rosh Hashanah comes in, there will be no opportunity for that money to transfer. Many people get their paycheck on the 10th. That's why this year it's very, very relevant. Because the 10th falls out on Thursday. And there's no other banking day between the 10th and Rosh Hashanah. So many people might not see their salary in their bank till after Rosh Hashanah. So make sure you write a prusbul.
Because ask him to pay me before?
No, I wouldn't do that. He probably won't like that. No employer likes to pay early.
Because he is religious.
Doesn't matter. Don't annoy him. Do that. Go the extra mile and write a prusbul.
So he'll have to sign that?
You can write a prusbul on Friday or on Matzei Shabbos or on Sunday. After he owes you the money. On the 10th he owes you the money. So on the 11th you can write the prusbul on Friday.
Be a part of it,
He doesn't have to know about it. When you write a Pruz Bul, it's between you and the court.
Okay.
It's irrelevant to him. He'll pay you anyways.
And the other thing is, you were saying about, like, if we have money in one of the Israeli banks?
Correct.
So I have money in Bank Adora.
That's in America?
No, in Bank Adora, the post office.
A bancador. Okay, so you'll write a prusbo. Yeah.
Right, so will one prusbo take care of...
One prusbo covers all the money you're owed. In the prusbo you write, any money that I'm owed is hereby given over to the courts, and thus I will be able to collect it after Rosh Hashanah. Any other questions? Okay. One more point. Let's say you're the guy that owes the money. And let's say your friend did not write a prusbo. So you show up to the room, Rosh Hashanah Eve, and you say, Bob, did you write a prusbul? And he says, what's that? And you say, Bob, you remember I owe you 500 shekel? Well, kiss him goodbye in the name of Judaism. I'm not giving you those 500 shekel. And Bob says, what you talking about? And you say, you go learn some Torah and leave me the 500 shekel. So the halacha says that's not so nice. Not nice, even though technically, legally, you're in the right. It's not nice. The guy gave you a loan. You should pay him. It even says that you want to do a mitzvah. You could, let's say someone owes you money. You could say, you have to say, I'm not collecting because Shemitah came in. You know, Shemitah Rosh Hashanah came out. But the halacha says you could say, I'm not collecting, because the halacha says I'm not allowed to collect. And as you say that, you're extending your hand, you know, I just told you what the halacha says, but you should be a nice guy and pay me anyways. So there's a certain logic here, right? Okay, so that's in a nutshell the story of Shmitat Ksafim, that loans between two Jews are annulled. On the eve of Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the Shemitah year.